Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
How many of you guys, I was sitting in worship this morning just thinking, how many of y'all love that maybe you were like me back in the past and it took you like the first two songs, you know, to like get all the sin out, and then like the third song you'd get to the worship, and then by the fourth song maybe it was some celebration, but it was really just thank God he still loves me, you know. Like that was my experience before, you know, and I love that like starting at song number one, it's Thanksgiving, you know. It's just we're going to worship God and praise him. I love it, love it, love it. Well, talking about how grace changes everything, I have one more My Grace Family Is. If you've been here for the past few weeks, you know we did a series called My Grace Family. My Grace Family Can Potluck is going to be the ending on that one. I am absolutely blown away. Was anybody else just amazed? Like, did anybody else? Yeah, all right. You know, it was fun because, you know, we were up here talking for a little bit, and I came out, and there was still a line, you know. The line was all the way down the road, and we'll work on the line for next time. But I tell you, the line wasn't even that bad. It was fun to actually get to sit there and talk, and Sal and I had a great conversation and all that. But I was wondering by the time I got there, I'm like, well, if there's no food left, then we'll just pray over it, and God will make more appear or something, you know. And I love that we got there, and there's plenty of food. So thank you to everybody who brought food and help make that day special, because, boy, it was special. The celebration to me, it felt like family. Did it feel like family to you? It felt like family to me, and I loved just the whole morning. In case you missed it, we did a whole series on giving, in which, okay, it's fun to approach these subjects and these topics from a grace perspective. Can I tell you, it feels a little weird as a pastor to tell a congregation you don't have to tithe, okay? Like, those words don't come easy sometimes from our flesh, right? You think, if I say this, what's going to happen? But I absolutely love the truth is that that's not our motivation. That's not where we get our motivation from is some law. We get our motivation from God, and I love that when we went into last week believing that all of us were going to listen to him. I mean, I don't know about you, but I was just overwhelmed at our group here. I was overwhelmed at the generosity and the giving and all of us coming together as a family to go towards a mission together. It really felt like we were together, which for me was very important. And so it was fun. I remember walking down the steps. I couldn't even get to my seat because so many of us were already coming up here to the front. I had to kind of weave in there and just to get to my card so I could fill my card out. I'll tell you what, if you, I know spring break was last week, if you missed the opportunity, don't worry, you can still be a part of this thing that we're doing, okay, and you'll find cards up there at the storyteller table, and you can be a part of it, because it's great to be doing something as a family, doing something together. But if I was just being honest with you, going into last week, some asked me, they said, well, are you nervous, you know, because the truth is that we have a number in our heads of we've been doing research for about 6 to 8 months on the needs of the church and what we needed to do and what the kind of money we needed to raise for different things. And so we had a number in our head, but then I know a lot of the stories in this room, and I know many of us here are going through a season where we're believing for jobs or believing for different things, and so you just don't know. And in the natural, right, if we look at things, you go, whew. That number, that seems like a far reach. And so Pastor Clark and I, we said, you know what? Really, if we could even just reach 80,000 as a goal, like that would be great. We could make a lot of things happen. And we love to do things around here ourselves anyway, so we'll save money doing that and all that. But we said, Lord, you do what you want. And I had some ask me last week, they said, yeah, are you nervous that, you know, that no one's going to want to be a part of this thing? You know, you're nervous at all that what's going to happen? I said, no, I'm not nervous at all. In fact, I don't even care, to be completely honest, because if $5 comes in, we're going to make the best $5, like, improvements in this place you've ever seen. And so at the end of the day, I just wasn't nervous at all. What I was excited about was actually the potluck. I wasn't even about the giving part, although that was a blessing. I was really excited about the, I like food, okay? And so, no, but I was really excited about getting to see you guys and getting to hang out together. I know in a church setting, it's sometimes difficult. We Sunday mornings are so crazy. I don't get to see a lot of us. And so it was really fun to get to hang out and do that. But can I tell you that when we counted all this up, let me give you the awesome, awesome news this morning, is not only did we commit to raising the 80, we actually committed as a group to $100,000. As a group. How awesome. And can I tell you, that was the number for 6 to 8 months that God had been pouring in our dreams, pouring in our hearts with 100,000. And so for that to be the number that, I mean, come on. Like, this is amazing to me. Like, totally a God thing. And 28,000 of that has already been turned in. So we're already 2,000 away from that match that somebody was actually going to provide 30,000 for our first 30,000. So we are well on our way. And so I just want to thank our family. Thank you guys. I'm so excited for what's going to happen this year and for all the things that God is going to do with that money. And for those of you on the live stream, good morning to you as well. And I want to thank you guys for being a part as well. We had people from our live stream actually give over $5,000 towards this initiative. So come on, like, that's amazing to me. And to answer, this is just a fun thing. I got an email while I'm standing up here from somebody on the live stream, which this is not going to become a habit, but I want to answer that question. Yes, the answer is yes. We'll find a way to do that. So there you go. let's not all start emailing Pastor Javen as he's trying to preach, but I love that. So yes, we'll find a way to do that. But here's the thing, is that whether you're watching on the live stream, whether you're here in this group right here, I love that we're going to get to see God do some things this year that we're going to talk about in the next few weeks of all the different things that God's placed in our hearts to do. But I love that grace is going forth, right? That it changes everything. We're going to look at that a little bit this morning. But here's the thing this morning I want you to know, in case you're new, in case you haven't been here in a while, we don't have an interest in growing a church. I don't have an interest in growing a church, okay? What I have an interest in is sharing a message. I want to share a message as a group, okay? I don't want to be interested in building an empire of Grace Church somewhere, okay? I want to be interested in sharing this truth that transforms lives. And so I can't wait to explore all the different ways that we're going to do that as a group together. It's going to be fun. But one of those areas that we're seeing God do something just different in ministry is our women's ministry. Now, I don't know what your thought is. Well, first off, if you're a guy, I know what your thought is. and don't you drift on me this morning. You focus. It's going to be good. But I don't know what your first thought is, but I've spoken to enough women to find out that there's some good, and there's a lot of, I hate to say bad, but there's a lot of mixed emotions about women's ministry, right? Because if done really poorly, it becomes a way to try to fix people, right? Is that come to a women's group so we can fix you. There's nothing more exciting about going to a group trying to be fixed in it, you know? And so it's been fun to get to kind of poll and listen to some of y'all's responses on what you think of when you think of women's ministry, but I love looking at how grace impacts everything. So this morning, what I want you to hear in this, if you're a guy for one, you're thinking, well, what does this have to do with me? Well, it has everything to do with you. There's a lot actually to be shared this morning in how grace changes everything, everything. When you strip the religiosity out of everything, you're left with something, and it's actually pretty beautiful. It's Jesus, all right? And so I love looking at these things of how this ministry looks totally different. So this morning, we're going to have a little Storyteller Sunday, which if you don't know what that word means, let me just quickly describe. We around here, we don't like the word volunteer. It's a really weird thing in a family to have a family member that says, hi, I'm a volunteer. Like, if my son ever tells me he's going to volunteer to clean his room, I'm probably going to pop him on the rear, you know, just because that's ridiculous, you know? In a loving way, like a good game, you know? Anyway. The words, Barbara, they leave the mouth. Just don't be nervous this morning. Anyway, I love, let's get to the point. I love how grace changes everything. And so this morning we're going to look at In the Glow, and I'm really excited to introduce to you a few people here. We have Mio Fry, we have Barbara Watts, and we have Colleen Wells. Would you help me welcome them this morning? And as they're I want to say that storytellers, in case I didn't finish that thought at all, we want to be storytellers, right, of our story, right? Everybody here's got a story. Everybody here's got something that God's done in your life, but we want to tell his story, right? All of Scripture points to his story, and then we want to tell the story that we're telling together as a group, our story, and that's what we're doing today, is talking a little bit about our story in this thing called In the Glow. So let me introduce everybody to you. In case you don't know everybody here, we have Mio Fry, who is our creative director at our church. Anything that looks creative in the building, she probably did it, or at least it probably came from her mind, and we love what she does. You wouldn't know this, but she actually is a huge public speaker, speaks everywhere.
I'll be preaching next Sunday.
Ooh, she's going to preach on a Sunday. You heard it. We're going to hold her to it. But no, this girl does. She has a lot to say. God has revealed so much to her. She gives me all the time. And then we have Barbara Watts. That wasn't a negative. Barbara Watts, which actually I'm gonna say this, is that how many of you guys enjoy hearing Barbara teach in the Bible study? Come on. I mean, again, you wouldn't know it, but this is her favorite thing to do. So we are so excited as well. But no, you know, something else about Barbara is that we have this conference coming later this year, which we were going to talk a little bit about, but we have a Women of Grace conference happening here in September, okay? And you'll hear more about that soon, but Barbara's actually going to be sharing at that, and I'm super excited. Are you super excited? Please use the microphone, Barbara. Yeah, the microphone. Just there it is. Okay, we got it. No, she gets to do it. Is it turned on? Check, check.
Yep. Check.
Yeah, that's on. Okay. Barbara prayed that her microphone wouldn't work, and it happened. And then we have Colleen. Now, Colleen, how many times do you get, oh, you're Gabe's mom.
That's
Colleen is the mom of Gabe Wells, who's our middle school director. So if you know our middle school director back there, that kind of crazy guy that we somehow put in charge of children, he came from her. So make the connection. No, but Colleen actually is a phenomenal writer, and she'll send me stuff, which, by the way, you can too. I love getting, people always, they write me stuff and they say, sorry to bug you, you know, but here's this thing that I wrote, and I love it, so bug me all the time. But she writes these profound grace nuggets, if you will, these things, that how grace has changed things. I just love that I've gotten to watch a journey, which hopefully we can get to talk a little bit about this morning. But I've been blown away by not just these three, but all of the leadership, all the women in this place that are leaders, Melissa and Jenny and others that I know can't be here today. But I just am so thankful for all the leadership that you guys have brought, and I'm blown away at this thing that is very real. It's very organic and real and Christ-like, and I love it in the glow. So Mio, I got to ask you first. Why in the glow? Where did that even come from? What was the inspiration?
So my story is, I have no idea how this happened. So in the glow kind of came about in such a weird way for me, because being a creative director, I really enjoy being a part of projects, getting it started, and collaborating with people, and just like the whole brainstorming, that's my jam. Like, that's what I really love to do. And within the glow, It was one of those things that I was telling the ladies, that I felt like I was in the passenger seat, because I don't honestly remember that process, like that creative process, at all. Like, I remember making the graphic and all of that, but, you know, there wasn't much to it. It didn't go through my, like, Mio's creative process. So, and I was frustrating for me, because I get questions like, how did this all come about? And my answer is so boring. I'm like, I have no idea how we got here. And so, preparing for Storyteller Sunday, I was just thinking about all the last 11 months and how awesome it has been. And so I was telling God, I was like, God, this is just incredible. How did we even get here? And apparently he answers rhetorical questions, because he tells me, he's like, well, I can be creative too, you know? So I was like, oh, like this little.
He's pretty creative, by the way.
He's this little sassy too.
Have you seen the platypus? All right, so I got a question for you. The first thought I have when I think of women's ministry is actually not a pineapple. So where did the pineapple come from?
That was, for me, it was just really fun and cute and frou-frou.
Is that okay?
It means, well, does it really?
What does it mean?
Does it really?
It means, can we get
the microphone? I don't think your mic is on. It means welcome, she says.
Welcome.
There.
But, no, but like in the glow, like I was really curious about, you know, how, for me, I thought it was really cute that you're reflectors of God's love, and you know, it's a really cute and
so sweet. If I understand correctly, you started this because you felt like you needed it.
Well, no. you're so bad. So no, when I first came back to Grace Church, I have a very blessed life. I feel like I have a good set of friends that are outside of church. I have a great marriage, awesome preteen, and I just feel very fulfilled. I have a job that I love. And so when I came here, I honestly, this is going to sound terrible, but I honestly felt as though there wasn't anything really that this church could have given me that I already didn't have. So awful. So I felt though that my job was to come in and make people feel connected, because there was a point in my life where church was my safe place, and I never touched Photoshop until I started working here. And now I consider myself I did Keynote, remember that? I did all my graphics on Keynote. That's so sad. So I wanted this place to be, I wanted to create opportunities for people to connect here and to find relationships. And so I thought that was my purpose here. And so I had no idea that God was going to really teach me something through In the Glow. Like going through the Tuesday morning Bible study, I just connecting with women and who understand the message of grace. I mean, it has blessed me. It's one of those things that I can't even explain. Like I thought that I had it all. And I'm finding out that I don't even know where to begin. It's amazing.
So, in other words, we do need each other.
We do. We need community.
No, you know, what's interesting is how many of you have ever done something where you were doing it for somebody else and then you found a blessing in it for yourself that God knew was there the whole time? And I love that. And I love that a part of the story is that Mio was doing something out of the kindness of her heart, saying, hey, we need to have a umbrella kind of women's ministry here at the church. And in that, God's going, yeah, this is for you. I'm helping you help yourself. So I love the way God works. Barbara, let me ask you a question. What in the Bible study or in the Glow or in any of these different women's ministries, can you think of something unexpected, like something that maybe it was unintended, an unintended response to something that you were doing? I know sometimes we have really good plans that we set up and we do, and then God steps in and does something like that.
Actually, it was totally unexpected that I would do the ladies' Bible study.
Tell me about that.
And that's been so many years ago, but it was just Martha asked me one day, would you go ahead and do it? Because I heard a statement from some video that we were watching that said, we're Grace Church, and we were sitting there, and the person said, if you sin, you have no right to run into the Father's lap and talk to him.
You heard this at
it was on a video.
Teaching. Oh, okay, video.
And I thought, and it just, it shocked me. And I spoke up, which I don't usually do. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I just can't listen to that kind of stuff anymore. And I thought, oh, no, they're going to kick me out of the whole church. And then Martha came and asked me to do the ladies' Bible study, and that's how that all happened. And that was completely unexpected and a shock, but it's been such a major blessing to me.
That's awesome.
Because I didn't realize that I like to study, because I never did in school, but... Oh, my word, just getting in the Word and studying and preparing weekly, that to me is the blessing even more than being able to share.
That's awesome.
It's like, and that was unexpected. That's because awesome. I like to share with people and all that. Now, I didn't used to, but God has a way of changing us totally.
Yes.
He can take a little introvert and change them completely. And so that whole thing has been unexpected.
That's awesome, awesome, awesome. Yes, absolutely. You know, Moses had a stuttering problem, I heard, so that's always been my excuse. Anyway, I love it. Well, let me ask you this, Colleen. If I were to overly generalize women's ministry as a whole, I know this is not every women's ministry, this is not what you would maybe see everywhere, but an overgeneralization of just the church at large is you have this mixture between law and grace. And when those things mix together in a women's ministry, what's often people's first encounter with that? As a guy who's never attended a women's ministry, can I ask, like, what would be your expectation? What would you think in that situation?
Well, having attended Bible studies at other churches, I would say that it's exhausting. There, you know, it feels like, you know, going, you've got tons of homework. And as a working mom, you know, I could never get to all of the volumes of homework. And you know, we would go and nobody really shared anything real. So it just felt like
Overgeneralization, by the way.
You know, not a worthy investment of my time because I felt shamed that, you know, I didn't get to everything. And then I felt like I really wasn't connect. And this is just my experience at a particular Bible study, like you said, an overgeneralization. But I didn't really get to know the people. And for me, that's, I want to know their stories. I want to do life together, which is what is happening at Glenda's study, you know.
Well, if, for example, you know, I can't speak to women's ministries, but I can speak to guys, hangouts, and different things. And the one thing is that none of us probably feel like we want to attend something where there's an agenda, right? Is that pretty universal all across the board? And when we attend things where there's mixture, a lot of times it's good intentions, right? I mean, I'm a part of that group because that was me at one point in time. Even through good intentions, we end up leading people into more bondage than they had going in. Did you find that to be the case at all, in the, or any of you guys, really, for that matter, in your experiences?
Definitely. And, you know, I would say that I'd love to tell you about the experience, how different it was, too, right. at Glenda's. You know, when I had been at church, attending church, and feeling like, you know, I don't know if there's a place for me here, and then went to the Monday night Bible study, and there are all these women, and it just felt like God's loving embrace, and there wasn't any of what I had experienced before. You know, the teaching, when you're teaching grace, it's not exhausting,
right,
like legalism. And so it's, you know, sometimes the studies have a little this or that, but, you know, we correct it, and you don't leave feeling like, oh, I can never live up to this. Oh, I'm,
right.
You know, I'm a failure.
Well, again, it's a change of perspective. So, for example, as I was mentioning in worship, right, and the old mindset was, okay, we need two or three songs to kind of get our flesh engaged. I don't know what we were ever hoping to do there, but it was this thought of, I need to get myself lined up, or all these different kind of thoughts, you know, and then when you cut all that stuff out and you really see the pure gospel for what it is and that he did everything on our behalf, well, what am I going to waste time talking about things he's already finished? You know, I'm going to sit there instead and engage him. Well, women's ministry is the same thing. Men's ministry, whatever we're talking about, and then if you can get rid of all the mixture first, well, then you get to really the beauty of being together, of community, right? Of seeing each other without judging each other or looking at each other's projects or any of those kinds of things. Let me ask you this. Has anyone had an experience, if you're a woman here this morning, and you would say that Proverbs 31 is your favorite verse of the Bible? Anybody? I tell you what, you know, Proverbs 31 woman. You know, if you've been around church long enough, you've heard this. I actually, in preparation for this, was doing some reading online and just researching when this verse is primarily used, and I was shocked to find out that it's primarily used on Mother's Day. How many of y'all have ever sat through a Mother's Day sermon where the Proverbs 31 deal came out? Okay, yeah, a few of you guys. I don't know how that's possible, because when you read this, right, it seems like we've definitely taken some beautiful scripture, if you want to look at it that way, but we've used it, if you will, to try to what? Coerce us into being better people, or what was your response to hearing that? Because it's scripture. It's not like it's wrong, right? But
a little browbeat.
Can we get her a different mic?
You feel a little browbeat and beat down because you can't measure up. No one woman can measure up to any of that.
So you come into a service on Mother's Day feeling like, you know, all of us as parents, right? I'm a dad. I can say from a dad's point of view, I never feel like I measure up if I want to look at just my performance. And so you come into something, and then you end up getting more lumped onto you on here's these virtues, here's these things that that you should model yourself after. And in what ways do you feel like that's unfair? How is it unfair to women as a whole? Because it's not just about women, right?
It's about the whole.
It's about the whole body of Christ.
It's everybody.
It's the bride of Christ. It's what is being described there. It is not just a woman. It is the woman, the partner, the equal partner of Jesus, the bride.
Amen. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. In case you have something to say.
Well, I was just going to say one you know, part of that scripture, it leads me to feel like, okay, well, not only does she never sleep, which is an issue, but but she never has any negative emotions, which means then you're not human, you know.
Right.
I mean, and that's men and women, you know. Well, we are humans with emotions.
And in case you don't remember it all word for word, let me just read you a quick selection here. Description of a worthy woman, which enjoy that right there. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax. I mean, do you relate to that? And works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also when it's still. And the list goes on and on. If I plug myself into this, if I say he senses and I plug, you know, me into this, this is quite the list of things. Now, if you're attending a group, for example, where these types of things are being discussed, let me ask you a deeper question. Where does that put your eyes? Where does that put your expectations?
On your performance.
Can anybody relate to that? That's pretty much what religious Christianity does to all of us. Let me ask you another question. How does, in discussing these things as a group, we're talking about women's ministry, and one of the things that I kind of realized through it all was that what women face and what men face are totally different. I can honestly say I've never thought of God as my father and thought that is maybe differently than the way that I'm finding that even women approach that. So can you speak to that for a moment? I mean, how does even viewing God as a father, how does that change from women to men?
Well, I think that the relationship, like you said, the relationship between fathers and daughters is a complicated one. And, you know, a lot of us have imperfect relationships with our father. And, you know, if your father was critical, then I think it's easy for you to view God as, you know, the whole performance thing fits like a glove. Or if he was abusive in any way, then when bad things are happening, I think it's easy to think, you know, God's punishing me. You're viewing everything through that lens of your earthly father. And then once you realize grace, then it sever all connections to your earthly father. And, you know, for me, if I flip it around and I think about, you know, the love that I have for my kids, that's the closest that I can understand the unconditional love that he has for me. So I put aside everything, you know, that might relate to my earthly father and think of it through that lens, and then realize that that's just a tiny little fraction of how he loves me.
Good. That's awesome. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
And also, I think that he relates to us so differently. The way that he speaks to us the way that he speaks to me. Typically, I don't just pray and talk out loud to him. I journal, and that's the way that we kind of communicate. It's kind of our thing. And so to everyone else, like, I think he shows a different, maybe not a different aspect, but he just relates to you in a personal, intimate level. And so what's awesome about going to Tuesday morning Bible study is hearing the stories of how God is relating to the individuals, and then you get a bigger picture. It's like you get to see God in 3D almost, and it's really awesome to me, because even though if I was a hermit and I never got out of my shell and just, you know, had a personal relationship with God, I think that's fine. I think that that's a blessing, and then you'll know God right here, you know. But then when you hear stories of other people and how God has just been faithful in their life, how God has shown, poured love into their lives or whatever, then you just get a bigger picture of what he's doing, and also what he's doing in our community. I was talking to Colleen about, it kind of reminds me, I don't know if we have any art teachers in here, but it kind of reminds me, have you ever done those art project where you get like a small piece of paper and it's a square, and then you have like a shape on it and you color it, and then it's like an art piece, and then you put it up against the wall and the teacher puts all the other classmates' pictures on it, and it's a huge design, and you're like, oh, that's really cool. So I see God that way when it comes with community. There's this God, my story, our story, and then there's the community stories, all of these collective, you know, stories put together, and it is just, it's stunning. It is beautiful what he's doing on a grand scale.
Well, I love that, and I love that. A thought that I was having on that was, the for all the ways that we're all different in this room, right? And I think we're living in a day and age where especially our culture seems to want to divide us up into as many different groups as possible. But the thing that I love about God is that for all of our differences, for all the ways that we all look different, sound different, all those different ways, we have all of that in common with Him, right? Because He made us this way. He made us different. He made us all kinds of different variety. Like, you remember this is going to be so silly, but I'm still a children's pastor here. You remember the crayon box that had like all the crayons? You know what I'm talking about? Not like that little crayon box, but the one that had like gold, you know? Yeah, and like chrome and stuff, like, and it had a sharpener on the side, you know, like that was the best part. That big old box, like that kid in class that had it was like everyone's best friend. And I don't know how much that thing cost, but anyway, it was a big old crayon box. But I love that's to me is a beautiful picture of what God does, right? Is He has all this color, all these differences, but that we have all these things in Him. And when you go to a women's gathering where it's not about fixing people, but instead, what would it be about then if there's not an agenda of, okay, there's a women's ministry and it has to do da 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 da? I mean, I don't sense that from you guys at all. So what do you experience instead?
Fun, celebration.
Now that I believe.
We really do. The ability for each one in there to share, and we get to know each other more intimately as we realize how loved we are and how special we are to Him, then we're able to honor and lift each other up and not be jealous or afraid or to give somebody an accolade.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, wow, look at what He's doing in her. Look what He's doing in him. It's wonderful. And that just makes it fun.
I love it. Can you guys think of a story or something that's happened here recently?
Well, I can think about our last event and how Nancy came and she did calligraphy for us. And that whole process was so cool because, you know, we wanted her to teach calligraphy. And she was like, oh, gosh, I don't know if I'm a teacher. But then once we talked about how this is all us, you know, in the family, this is just you, a family member, sharing with the rest of the family. And then she came in, and what she had so much amazing stuff to share. Everyone was blown away. And the whole event is just about, you know, getting together, having fun, doing life together. You know, we have the little get-to-know-you questions that are just random, like if you were going to sing a karaoke song, what would it be? Or, you know, what would you do if money were no object? You know, just little, the whole thing is designed just for us to fellowship and have fun. And then when you get to know each other, then you feel like, okay, maybe I could commit to going to a Bible study every week. And then suddenly, you know, this is your, you know, I shared before, you know, I really feel like before getting involved, and that was, you know, serving in the kids' ministry, attending the Monday night Bible study and joining the GLOW team, you know, I felt like what I did all week was my real life. That was my real life, and then church would be somewhere that I visited on the weekend. And now I really, you know, as I've gotten to know everyone and, you know their stories, they know my stories, you know, we share during the week and encourage, it's like, oh, this is real life. And I would encourage everyone to just come.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting is that beforehand, right, before when we used to think the old way, I feel like I missed a lot of these stories of things that God was doing, for example, because so much of our time was just spent on all the ways we needed to improve that we never got to see all the things that God was even doing in our midst. I know that one of the things that I love about this group and the community that's developed here in this group is y'all have a Facebook page, if I understand, and on that, our group, I don't know anything about social media, and if you guys actually have testimonies and stories I hear are pouring out of there. Is there any of those that you can share that nobody here would be embarrassed by?
Well, I mean, I hate
horrible question, I'm sorry.
Nancy, but on Monday night, you know, she had the opportunity, you know, we had been praying for a situation, a friend of hers who had been in an accident, and she was, you know, ministering to those people and had the opportunity to then speak at the service, and it was this amazing thing that happened, and you just see God working, and, you know, that's one of many stories. There have been so many prayers that have been answered in that group, It's like Mio said, you know, seeing the big picture of everything is truly amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and going back to what Barbara said, right? Barbara, you said that we have fun. And I think that's an interesting thing. Is it okay to have fun? Like, back in the day, it's funny. You would almost feel bad for having fun because the first thought was, well, if you're having fun, you guys must not be reading the Bible enough or something, you know. You must not be studying enough or devoting yourself to the Word. But that what's fun for me is when I get to watch these ladies, for example, come out of the Bible study, not only are they having fun, but there's more times than not, somebody grabs my ear and says, I got to tell you this thing that God's showing me, you know, and they'll just rip into this awesome truth that God is. So how is, I don't know, when you get rid of that, when you get rid of that mindset and you just have fun and you engage God in that way, I mean, what have you discovered about God in that way, even in having fun? That's a weird question, but.
One thing that I experienced in being a part of the women's mm-hmm. community is that everything just points to how amazing God is. It's all about
yes.
Him. Even when we had talked about, or when people have real questions about how do I listen to God's voice, or how do I discern between God's voice and my own, or this, I'm going through this, how, you know, they're asking these really important questions. And what's great about this group is that typically, I think that if you were to go to other churches or if you go, or even like counseling or whatever, you would typically get things that you're needing to do. You know, like these, like this is what you need to do to get to from point A to point B. And what's awesome is that, you know, we share our stories. We say, okay, so God spoke to me like this once, but, and this is kind of how it feels. It's like a whisper to me, or someone's like, oh, it feels like a loud yell. And to me, it feels like as I'm writing, it's kind of like double personalities almost. I'm like, oh God, this is so sad, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, no, but I'm a child of God and all, you know? So it's kind of like you see that process of me just, you know, focusing on my on me, and then God's telling, like, pouring into my life, like, this is who you are. And so you see that shift. And so what's great is that you see these women, it's like, this is, it's going to be different for you. When he speaks to you, it's going to sound different, but you just got to try. And it's okay if you mess up, and if you think, oh, this is God's voice, and it wasn't, it's okay. And it's like pushing, it's always pushing women to seek him and to like have a relationship with him. And then, you know, we share our stories and we poke fun of each other sometimes, and that's fun. and it's just life. I don't know. It's very, it feels very effortless. Whereas before, I really felt as though coming into a community of women, it was going to take up a lot of my energy. Because I am an introvert. I enjoy being, you know, alone, and I don't do well in big groups, and this is terrifying to me right now. But it doesn't feel that way. It's very life-giving. And that's something that's really unexpected, was I did not expect to feel like this would give me so much joy and so much life to be
awesome.
part of a community, part of this family. So
that's awesome.
Getting together with each other like that really does stir our spirit, and it gives us energy. And you go out energized instead of drained. And it's just neat. And about, I just need to say this real quick. About hearing God's voice, how do you hear? How do you know? Well, Alan just gave a perfect opening this morning, because on the way to church, I thought, maybe I better leave. Just the thought was there, leave a couple minutes early in case there's a roadblock. And so I said, okay. Well, sure enough, I had to come down 436, and there it is. And I thought, well, I don't have to be all worried because I left a little early.
That's awesome.
And that was God's voice.
Even just little things.
Just,
you know?
Tiny little nothing like that.
And even God knows about 436.
And
He must live around here.
And I was just happy. It made me happy.
Awesome.
I didn't get scared or nervous or I'm going to be late or any of that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, Colleen, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, what I have found too is that when you are vulnerable and you allow other people into your life in relationship, then God speaks through them to you.
Yeah.
For example, this morning I was, I'm an introvert too. I would never want to sit on this stage and talk. And,
perfect.
You know, I had a negative thought that came in. And I mean, the instant it came in, boom, here was a text from Melissa that was just speaking against exactly what I was thinking. And so I know that God put that in her mind to share with me. And so, you know,
that's awesome.
We hear through others as
yes.
well, you know.
That's awesome. And I just to clear up something, too, in case you're wondering, you'll hear a lot of times we'll reference other churches, other things. We're obviously all the same family. We're all the same team. But the difference is that we're not trying to do women's ministry necessarily different, but we have a different message, right? The message transforms everything. So when you strip out the religious part of it and you're left with the pure grace gospel, it just changes how you do everything. So our hope, of course, is not to compete with anyone. Our hope is that we'll all someday be sharing the same exact gospel truth because it does change everything. One example of that is this. Going back to the Proverbs 31 woman here just for a moment. You know, you read this list and you see all of these wonderful virtues, really, that would be great for a man or a woman. And you read this list. And really what I see in that is a mother writing a list for her son. Here's the perfect bride for you, son, right? Which we all know we are the bride of Christ. And so when we read this list together, here's where I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged that, first off, when we're reading about brides in Scripture, when we're reading about marriages in Scripture, we're reading about all these things in Scripture, we have to see them through the culture that was there then, right? Not through our culture now. So, for example, during this time, the father of the groom actually paid for everything. So, in our culture, which is really a bummer, I have two daughters. The father of the bride nowadays pays for everything. And, you know, you guys seen the show, at least my wife loves it, the show where they go on there and they look at all these dresses and they're incredibly priced and these women are something else. But anyway, but in our culture, that's the way things work. And so we read in Scripture these things like a perfect woman here, and you think, well, here's the truth. The truth is that the way it actually worked in their culture was the father of the groom provided everything for the bride. He provided the dress. He provided the helper, right? The helper that would make sure that she was ready to go. He did everything. And so I love this picture where we're going back to what I was just talking about, how other churches and different things, we're not in competition or slamming anybody else. It's just that when you see Scripture through the lens of pure grace, what I see is that my Father prepared all of us as the bride. He dressed all of us. He's made all of us perfect in Him. Right? I remember thinking, you know, you'd be encouraged not to get a spot on your dress, you know, or sin, you know, and what an incomplete picture of what our Father has done. You know, He not only provided the dress, He provided the helper, He provided everything for life and godliness, right? So I love that as we approach all these different things, even women's ministries, the idea here is that we should be looking to Jesus. Like, I love that y'all said that multiple times is, well, we just encourage people to go and worship Him and speak with Him, knowing that you have been made perfect by the love of the Son. So is there any kind of closing thoughts you guys have towards In the Glow or even towards the ministry here that we're doing? You seem like you had something to say. That was kind of my way of letting you in.
So for me, I'm always blown away by how God sees us. You know, we always think that God is this, you know, He's amazing and He loves us and He's done everything for us and He's just so in love with us, right? But then when He pours back, like, let me tell you how I feel about you, that always, always blows me away. And so with the whole In the Glow, even like the name of it and or the what was it, the manifesto, the like our mission statement, I felt so, because it didn't go through the Mio process. Again, something was written and I was like, goodness, this really, it's kind of like the Proverbs 31. It's kind of like a tall order, like, you know, the Glow women are this and we heal the hurting. It's just all these
right.
descriptions, and I'm like, wow, Lord, that's. I'm like, I don't know. Like, you need a. I don't know if this is the right mission statement for us. Maybe I need to tone it down a little bit or whatever. And so God, through the women's group, like, I had no idea how resilient and how beautiful and how strong our women are. I had no clue. And it wasn't until, you know, being engaged into the community that I was totally wrong. I just didn't. Oh, there's music. this just makes my story so much better. I had no clue. And so it was kind of God telling me, he's like, Mio, I know our community. I know our women. I know you.
That's awesome.
And this is how I see you. And for the whole, like the In the Glow, like I thought it was cute and it was super frou-frou. But then God kind of led me to revisit one of my favorite Bible stories ever, was when Moses was on the mountainside talking to God, and it said that he was radiant, like his face was radiant because he was in close proximity with him, and that he was talking to him as if they were neighbors, like that's how close they were. And then he asked God, of all, just to show me your glory, and of all the attributes that God could have decided to show Moses, he decided to show him his goodness. And that's kind of the fundamentals of grace, is that we believe in God's goodness. And he is so close to us. We believe that he is right next to us, and that gives us a glow. Right, you know, it gives the men a glow too. You guys need to name it We Are in the Glow Too. That should be your men's group name.
In the Glow Too. No.
In
Hold on.
In the Glow Too.
Fellas, I think we should call our group In the Know, right?
No. That's right.
Oh, okay.
So
I think that's awesome. Can you guys give these guys a hand? We really appreciate all of you guys and all that you're doing.
Come to our event on April 22nd, Blankets and Brunch.
Go ahead.
Just had to, this is going to be our first ever service project where we're making blankets, easy no-sew blankets, you know, where you're just tying knots and fleece. But they're going to the Linus Project and the Ronald McDonald House. So, you know, these are kids that, you know, have need for that love. You know, a blanket makes you feel warm. And anyway, it's April 22nd, Saturday, from 10 to 11:30. And then we're all going to go out to lunch after if you want. Or if you have other plans, then that's fine.
Awesome. Thank you, ladies, so much. I'll tell you what, you got to come to this. If you're here, you've not been to an event yet, come to this. It can't get any better than that. And I hope what you're taking away this morning is this, is that, look, whether it's women's ministries or the much more superior men's ministries, which will come out soon, I'm just kidding. All right, sweet. Whatever that ends up looking like, which will happen soon. Actually, we have a date for that. We have a save the date, May 6th, okay? So May 6th, fellas, more details to come in pure guy fashion. We have no idea what we're doing. It's just May 6th, like, just show up. I don't know. We'll do something fun. But I am absolutely excited to explore not just women's ministries and men's ministries, but I'm excited to look at everything differently as a family. And the one thing I can guarantee you, no matter what you come to here at the church, is that you're not going to get a bunch of performance laid on you. You will instead find warm, friendly people that are just like you, okay? We're all just kind of one big happy family. So come be a part of what we're doing, and I promise you, you will be blessed. Let me go ahead and pray for us this morning, and then we're going to, you go and stand with me, and then we're going to dismiss. Father, we thank you so much, God, that you do change everything. Lord, I'm just so glad that everything is better than what I thought it was. And I know that that will only increasingly get better and better and better the more I just see what you're doing. So, Lord, I pray that you would just continue to do this in our lives. Continue to open our eyes to the things that you have already done. Instead of us waiting for you to do something, God, that we could just celebrate the things that you have already done in our lives, that we could do so together, that we could have a community of believers who really, really get this and share it with the other churches, our friends, neighbors, everybody around us, Lord, because we are all one big family that wants to celebrate you together. That is our desire, is unity. We love you so much, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, this morning, if on the way out, you would remember a couple things. Number one, if you wanted to be a part of the giving deal that we have going on, the year-long process that My Grace Family is, you can still be a part of that. Don't feel like you can't. There's some forms there at the desk. The booth, I can't remember the name of the thing, storyteller table outside. Otherwise, if you'd remember also to give on the walls, on the doors. I'm having a hard time. The boxes on the walls. Yeah, give them the doors. Let's go slap it on the door and tape it to it. That'll be great. If you are one of our prayer team members, if you come on down here to the front, we are going to still pray this morning. We're going to worship out one last time. But I'm so excited to do this together. Thank you, guys, everybody who's been involved in what we're doing. Great things are coming. Let's thank the Lord and worship Him for just a moment.